We welcome you back to the Warren County Radio Bible School. We're in the midst of a study of that time when Peter made that great confession about Jesus, that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're going to return to that study using as a guide through this portion of the Bible, Elam's notes. And these are Sunday school notes written for the Sunday schools of November the 16th, 1924. They'll find all of this in Matthew chapter 16, and you'll want to turn in your Bibles there. And while you're doing so, I will remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rockcliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rockcliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now let's get back to our text. And we're looking at Peter's confession in Matthew 16, when Jesus asked Peter, "Whom say ye that I am?" In Matthew 16:16, Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And then Matthew chapter 16:17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee. Because flesh and blood could not make known such a revelation. People knew by flesh and blood that Jesus was the son of Mary and a descendant of Abraham, as Matthew and Luke both show. But they could not know by flesh and blood that he was the Son of God. God must make this revelation. And he revealed it unto Mary in Luke 1, verses 26 through 35, and to Joseph in Matthew 1, verses 18 through 21, and to John the Baptist, and to Peter, and to others, when he sent down the Spirit upon Jesus and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 3 and verse 17. Besides, all the miracles of Jesus were done in the presence of his disciples as the testimony of God to this fact, to reveal to them and to the world that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The apostles were Christ's witnesses to the world, guided by the Spirit of God. They made this revelation known to the world. Hence, no man speaking in the Spirit of God said Jesus is anathema, and no man can say Jesus is Lord but in the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3. Human wisdom and science could not invent or discover the remedy for sin. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, "The world, through its wisdom, knew not God." Man, by searching, cannot find out God. That's what Job learned, and that's what we read in Romans 11 and verse 33. God must reveal his will, and the remedy for sin are the way of salvation to men. Hence, it is absolute folly to trust in the wisdom of the world or the philosophies and science of men for the way of salvation. The wisdom of men is foolishness with God, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And we also read in this connection about the foundation of the church. Let's go back to Matthew 16. Jesus said in verse 17, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona," that is, "you son of Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father in heaven. And I say, O unto thee, that thou art Peter, And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Even the most casual reading should show us that the church was not to be built upon Peter. It wasn't built upon the fact that Simon was the son of Jonah, but on the confession and the fact that Jesus was the Son of God. One is just a stone that can be tossed about, but the other is a foundation slab worthy of so great a spiritual structure. Jesus, continuing his address to Peter, said, "And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." This declaration has called forth a great deal of controversy. Jesus does not say he would build his church on Peter, but says thou art Petros. Now that's a small stone. And upon this Petra, now that's a bedrock, I will build my church. We build houses of stone, but we lay the foundation upon a rock. All Christians are living stones, that is, building stones, into the spiritual house, while Jesus, under this figure, is the chief cornerstone. Let me read to you that from what Peter himself would later say. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. "For God spared not the angels when they sinned, but cast out..." That's 2 Peter. Let me look. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Now remember, Peter was there, and this is what Peter says. In verse 3, "If ye have so tasted that the Lord is good..." 1 Peter 2 and verse 4, "Unto whom coming? A living stone, rejected indeed of men, but with God elect, precious. Ye also as living stones are built up a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, because it is contained in Scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame. For you, therefore, that believe, he is the preciousness. But for such as disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense." You know, when you lay the chief cornerstone down in a building, all other stones are to conform to that chief cornerstones. And so Jesus also is that great foundation stone of the church. All the living stones that come to him to make up that spiritual temple are to conform to that cornerstone. Under other figures, he is Petra, the rock. This is Peter, but in the figure under consideration, Peter is not the foundation. No, and verse 19, we're going to see that he's the doorkeeper. Because he says, "Unto thee will I give the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind or loose shall be bound or loosed in heaven." There's a big difference in the foundation slab and a doorkeeper. There is a builder, Jesus, a solid rock foundation, a spiritual house, the church, a doorkeeper, Peter, the gates of the unseen world, is a mighty power opposing this work. Now, what is the foundation, the solid rock? It is the central truth of the whole Bible, the glorious fact that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Destroy this truth, and all the prophecies, promises, and purposes of God to redeem the race are absolutely false. This fact is the fulfillment of every promise and prophecy, and the consummation of every purpose of God to save men from sin and the grave. Peter could not be in the same figure and at the same time both the rock foundation and the doorkeeper. But aside from all doubtful verbal criticism, this matter is infallibly settled by what the apostles understood Jesus to mean. They never once thought he meant Peter was the foundation, and Peter never once claimed it. In his preaching on Pentecost and ever afterward, Peter held up Jesus, the Son of God, made both Lord and Christ, as the one item of faith and the foundation of Christ's church. And Paul says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ," 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 11. Isaiah the prophet said in Isaiah 28:16, "Behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone of sure foundation." And there Jesus identified now as the precious cornerstone is likewise and clearly identified as the foundation. No one can doubt this means Jesus, the crucified and risen Savior, the Son of God. Peter so declares it, and it's declared again and again throughout the New Testament. Then the apostles were eyewitnesses of Christ's life and death and resurrection, and must be in order to be his apostles. Hence, they could have no successors, and as far as there can be no successors to eyewitnesses, the gates of a city represent its power, and the gates of Hades represent the power of the grave or the unseen world as a mighty city. Christ's enemy slew him, hoping to destroy him and his proposed kingdom. But the grave could not contain him. He conquered it and broke open the gates of Hades and came forth. Hades is put sometimes for destruction. Matthew 11:23. Jesus meant, therefore, not only that he would arise from the grave and establish his church, but that it would never be destroyed, and it shall stand forever, Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44. There have always been faithful disciples of Jesus on earth, and there always will be. All institutions of every other kind will be destroyed. In one way only could Peter and the other apostles remit sins. I want to read the intervening verses of this study. This is Matthew chapter 16, verses 19 and 20. Here Jesus said, "I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he the disciples that they would tell no man that he was the Christ. This shows how sins are remitted, are retained. Jesus further says that he would give them and this power to bind and to loose, and this is in the future, and show that his church and his kingdom was not yet built when Jesus said this. The kingdom of heaven in this verse is used synonymously with the church in the previous verse. Keys are used to open and close doors. All the apostles had the same power of loosing and binding. John 20:19-23. That only means that Jesus had committed them the important work of making known to the world the conditions of pardon and the entrance into the kingdom, and all who would comply with these conditions would be forgiven.